Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I want to read for our hearing from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A good many years ago, when I decided that I would strive to preach the gospel, an older gospel preacher gave me mountains of advice. And one of the things that he advised me, and by the way, that was the beloved Brother J. Roy Vaughan, who many of you know. He said to me, to keep the church at peace, preach at least once a year on the sins of the tongue. Well, I didn't do that. I've already been here a year today, but I'm just barely getting it in. But he went on to tell me why he would insist that this be done. He said there will be many who will talk themselves into hell. And that's a very strong statement. And it was spoken to me with the utmost of sincerity. And surely as we read from the Word of God, we see the wisdom of that advice and the accuracy of the things he had to say. I call your attention just now to James, the third chapter. And I want to read aloud to you the first 14 verses of that chapter, which certainly contains the most extensive revelation from God concerning this matter of speech and the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. In this passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, through James, has compared the tongue with a number of things with which we have familiarity. And he emphasizes the tongue is very, very powerful, though small. I read that passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of a song maybe some of you will remember, especially some of you country music fans. Little Jimmy Dickens used to sing the song, Little But Loud. Well, that certainly does characterize the tongue. He compares the tongue to a horse's bit, that though it's very small, we can guide about the whole body of that rather unusually large animal. He compares it to a ship's rudder, and though the ship is a large vessel, just that very relatively small instrument is used to determine the direction of the entire ship. He compares it to fire. Now, fire can be very helpful, very useful, very beneficial. But fire can also be very harmful and very damaging, depending upon the way that it is used and whether or not it is under control. He also compares it like a deadly viper, that which is full of deadly poison, and compares it to even a wild beast. Now, dear friend, I know that all of us are of reasonable mind, that if we thought that somewhere in our midst there was a rattlesnake or a copperhead or something of that nature or some ferocious beast, we would all take a great deal of caution. Well, let me tell you, I don't know how many are here today, but every one of us possess a tongue, and there are just that many wild beasts and poisonous, potentially poisonous reptiles in our midst. And each one of us are a possessor of such a thing. And God, therefore, has taught, demands, and expects us to use caution concerning our speech and the proper use of our tongue, because the tongue does exact a great power. Now, just now, I want to emphasize some of the destructive power of the tongue, for the Bible certainly does. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, we read of 6 things, yea, 7, that the Lord hateth. And among the things that it is said that the Lord hates that pertains to our lesson today, in verse 17, a lying tongue. And also a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. It's obvious from that the Lord is not pleased when there is discord and strife and tension among brethren. The Lord expects, recalls for harmony and for unity. These are treasured qualities that we ought to treasure and for which we ought to strive, and not to do such things as would provoke and create unnecessary tensions among brethren. And that's what false doctrine does. That's exactly what false teaching does. Those who teach that which is not according to thus saith the Lord are violating this very passage, sowing discord among brethren by the attempt to inject doctrines that are not according to thus saith the Lord. Speaking lies, that which is the opposite of the truth. Furthermore, in another proverb, Proverbs 16 and verse 28, a whisperer separateth chief friends. I want you to think about the term and idea of friendship. You know, sometimes friends are even closer to us than our own blood kin, are they not? This is characteristic of so many people in so many situations. This is one of the strongest ties that exist in human relationship, a genuine good friend one with the other. And yet, the wise man Solomon, by inspiration, warns us that even this precious and strong tie can be broken by the misuse of the tongue. Again, in Proverbs 26 and verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. My beloved brethren, problems arise from time to time. Problems arise in the lives of individuals. Problems arise between individuals. Problems arise in the church. And many of these problems could be handled and solved and could cease, except for the fact many of us, just like putting another log on the fire, keep it going and keep it glowing and keep it burning by bearing tales that ought never been born. So many situations that ought to have already been allowed to die and to cease and gone on down the river and forgotten, they're kept alive by constant talking about it, bringing it up just every now and then in order to keep the strife brewing. James tells us here in the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse, that the tongue can defile the whole body. Talk first to this one, then talk to that one, then talk to another one, doing all the damage that's possibly able to be done with all kind of satanic discord. And so many times, brethren, talking constantly about somebody, but never bringing oneself to the righteous position of talking to somebody. A lot of us are quick to talk about somebody when they're not there. This is the reason one preacher said you must always attend the preacher's meetings, because those that are not there are the ones that get talked about. So you go for self-protection. Talk about people and all of their faults and all of their problems and all of their shortcomings and all of the things you don't like, but never having the love or concern to ever talk to those individuals for the purpose of trying to resolve the differences and to help situations. Now, I want you to turn back with me one chapter in James chapter 1, verse 26. And here's the reason for this very lesson this morning, brethren. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, I think it goes without having to belabor it that every one of us here consider ourselves religious, and that's good. We should be religious. Every religious person is not a Christian, a child of God, but every child of God, a Christian, is indeed a religious person. So we're really talking about and reading about and studying about something that applies to every single solitary one of us without exception of even one. Therefore, the lesson being of such broad expanse is that who cannot but profit from the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed here unto us? This verse, these passages, these truths are talking about us. Me and you. We consider ourselves to be religious. Yet, if a man thinketh himself to be religious, now he is a religious person, and he can have a tremendously big problem. And that problem is deception. Nobody likes to be deceived, misled. You don't like for other people to deceive you. But the worst kind of deception is self-deception, because that's the most difficult kind to break through. We are so deceived sometimes that we don't even realize that we're deceived. Here's a man that deceives himself. He deceiveth his heart. How does he do that? He does it to the extent that his very religion becomes vain. I want you to focus attention on this word vain, brethren. For something to be vain means it's useless. It is of no value. It is empty. Now, it ought to sober my thinking, and it ought to sober your thinking to realize the possibility that our entire religion can be, as far as we are concerned, in vain, useless, empty. And how can that be brought about? By not bridling the tongue. Now, you think about it. You can hear the gospel and obey it. You've been baptized. You observe the Lord's Supper. You come for worship. All of these things God expects, and you should do with the right attitude. We can sing. We can pray. We can do many good works during the week. We can be a benefit to those who are in need. All of these things that are involved in the religion of Jesus Christ, and all of it be counted for naught. How? By the way we talk. I don't know anything that can take a one shot through the heart of our Christian faith for our benefit any more powerfully than this very teaching right here. How you use your tongue, how I use my tongue. You know what James is telling us? Just exactly what Brother Vaughn told me. We can talk ourselves into hell. You believe that? Do you really believe that? Now, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, by thy words thou shalt be condemned, and by thy words thou shalt be justified. What we say makes a difference, brethren. And so we can see the importance of such study, can't we? And the relevancy. Well, what kind of talk will take us to hell and make our religion in vain? Well, I think there are certain kinds of conversation all of us would readily agree is wrong. Cursing, lying, swearing, profanity, vulgarity, taking the name of God in vain, such things as that. That's usually obvious to most of us. It's usually obvious to most religious people. Now, we would be reminded that most of the world would not agree with us on that. I am confident that most people of the world couldn't care less even about such perversions of the tongue and misuse of the tongue that I have just mentioned. If you don't believe it, just turn on your television. You can't even get the daily news without them having to feel like they've got to throw in some kind of profanity. Why, you can't watch a story unless it's back in the, almost back in the times of black and white and before sound, unless you've got some kind of vulgarity and profanity. Your magazines, your newspapers, just overrunning with it. Just listen to conversation when you're standing in the line at the store or at the restaurant. It's obvious that most people don't think cursing, lying, swearing, profanity, vulgarity, lewdness, all that. They don't have any qualms about that. They just go right along. It's a shame of our society. And it's a shame that those of us who profess to be adults are teaching our youngsters that vile speech is a mark of adulthood. It's not a mark of adulthood. It's a mark of a lack of intelligence. It's the inability to express yourself without having to dip into the sewage of Satan. Any fool can curse. It doesn't take much education to do it. It doesn't take any integrity. It doesn't take any purity. Anybody can do that. That's no mark of distinction that's commendable. It ought to be obvious to those of us who are Christians that the kind of talk that will take us into condemnation is the propagation of false doctrine. And brethren, this is the reason we need to adhere to thus saith the Lord. This is the reason we must have book, chapter, and verse for what we say, do, practice, and think. This is the reason that what is done must be done by the authority of Jesus Christ and not according to what most like and what most might be doing and what is popular or what will draw great crowds. False doctrine will cause people to lose their souls, and those that propagate it will be lost along with them. The blind leading them to blind. Both shall be in the pit. There is no more sinister abuse of the tongue than to teach those things that are contrary to and not according to the authority of thus saith the Lord, or to give support to those that do. That's an abuse of the very great blessing that God has given us to communicate one mind to the other. These things should be obvious, but there are some less obvious ways in which we can talk our way to hell. They're not less obvious to the Lord, but they've been less obvious to us. And I use a word that so many people use so flippantly and probably don't grasp the meaning of it, and that's gossip. Now, isn't it wonderful that none of us here ever do that? But we're talking about other folks, of course, today. You understand? None of us ever do that. You realize that. I realize that. You know, we're fortunate, dear people. Gossip doesn't slip up on us on the blind side. Gossip comes with a red flag warning us. Here comes gossip. Let me show you some of the red flags. Just watch it. Here's a red flag. Have you heard about so-and-so? Look out. Here it comes. Now, here's another flag. Now, don't you tell anybody. But, you just watch out. 10 times out of 9, if something ought not have been said. Now, I know what I said. 10 times out of 9. That means every time and a little bit more, too. They tell me, and I don't know for sure, but they tell me, I never have found out who they was. Or they is, or what they, who's they? I'll put it that way. I don't know my grammar. Who's they? They say. Now, I don't know for sure, but you don't know for sure, but you keep it going, whatever they are or whoever they said. Now, I can't be sure about this, but I heard, and then here we go, with gossip. It can destroy reputations. You wouldn't want your reputation destroyed by somebody's tongue. We ought not do that to others. It will smear good characters. It can't destroy good character, brethren. I don't care what anybody says about you. If you've got good character, you can maintain your good character. They may destroy your reputation. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. The tongue can't destroy character, but it can sure smear it. It can make it look like something that it's not. With unjust and vicious criticisms that would create erroneous and false impressions about other people, seeking to destroy and to do harm. Let me tell you something, and I want to say it slowly and kindly, but I want us to get it. Gossip hurts the other person. There's no question about it. You take any one person and you gossip destructively and injuriously about them, it will hurt them. It cannot help but hurt them, because a lot of people will believe what you have said. But while it will hurt them, listen to me, it will damn you. It will hurt them, but it will damn you. It's more serious than you think, because though it will hurt them, it will damn you. And we need to realize that. We go out here and think that, well, I'm just footloose and fancy free, blabbing whatever I happen to know. And let me tell you something, brethren. There are a lot of times things that are true that don't need to be spread abroad. I really like the article that I read in the back of this little paper we put out here every Sunday, or that we get here every Sunday. I never can think of the name of that paper, but you know what I'm talking about. And in the close of one of his little articles, he said, there's no use advertising sin. Even if somebody has sinned, and there's no use putting it up on a billboard. You tell some people some things, you just about as soon put it on television or in the standard newspaper, anywhere. They're going to spread it. And particularly do they love it when it's the truth and it's ugly. And sometimes truth is ugly. What's the use of spreading things that are ugly? We misrepresent people sometimes. Impugning motives, which we don't even have the power to judge. Circulating harmful and destructive conversation. As I said, always talking about people but never talking to them. Brethren, by the tongue we can keep alive that which ought to have been buried a long time ago. And good people, godly Christian people, have been hurt by verbal abuse so many times, and unjustly, and many times mistakenly. Now, another way that we need to be careful, we say things we don't intend to say. We call it a slip of the tongue. As an elder in South Bend one time always explained why people have a slip of the tongue, was causing such a slick place. Well, that might be it. We do have the slip of the tongue. We say things sometimes that, in anger, out of haste, under the pressure of an emotional situation, we later regret, sometimes hardly gotten it out of our mouths before we wish we hadn't said that. Maybe you've never done that, but I believe about 99% of us have. This is the reason we have to be on guard. This is the reason you never take the leash off of this wild beast. You always have to keep it on guard. And sometimes even as we closely guard it, We'll say things we ought not. But I want to tell you something that is far more deadly than most of us realize. And that's to use the tongue to the hurt of the Lord's church. To criticize the members of the church, to criticize preachers and elders of the church. Some people just love to engage in church bashing, even when they profess to be members of it. I'm not surprised that the people of the world like to bash the Lord's church. They always have. It's surprising to me that there'll be people in the church who love to bash the church, always finding fault about everything about the church and everybody in it. And they never really consider, I don't think, how much harm that they are doing. Can't you imagine? Families come to worship. They're going back home, sitting around Sunday dinner table. They have fried elders, broiled preacher, overly cooked brethren. Chew on that for a while, and then wonder why the children don't have any respect for the church. I'll tell you why some people don't have any respect for the church. They were brought up in homes where those who knew better or ought to have known better were constantly berating the people that make up the body of Christ. Finding fault with every little picky thing they can come up with. Talk about it in such fashion where those that are listening and the young ears are listening. Well, that must be a bunch of two-faced hypocrites if there ever was. I don't want to have any part of that. And once they get away from home, they don't. Bad-mouthing everything that goes on. Now, brethren, you can underscore this. Those who better busy themselves and always talking against the church, always talking against the leaders of the church, always criticizing everything, they don't seek solutions to problems. They are seeking to create and, having created, perpetuate unnecessary problems. We can talk ourselves right into condemnation that way. We need to realize that when we attack the Lord's church, we're attacking the Lord's body, even though there are imperfections in it. And some people even criticize the Lord's church to those who are outside of the Lord's church. What do you think the outsider is going to think of the church when members of the church do that? Now, brethren, that just ought not so to be. You know better than that. Now, the church sometimes gets off the track. Sometimes those in the church begin to propagate that which is in error. Then let's take the sword of the Spirit and do godly battle with that. But not go around degrading everything for which our Lord has died while doing it. Not only must we be on guard about our own speech and our own conversation, we need to encourage others to be on guard about theirs. And here's one way that we can do it. You might say, well, we can't help what other people can say. Well, that might be true to a certain extent, but I'll tell you, you can discourage it. How? I like the little saying that says, don't be a good listener to bad talk. Some people just love to hear others talk in ways that they ought not be talking. I found out that there's one good way to stop bad talk. People come to you, do you hear about this? Or, do you know about that? Or, let me tell you what they say, or this, that, and the other. And they tell it, and it'll be bad. If it is true, it's bad. I say, well, now, that's really bad. And let's dial a telephone here and get a hold of that person, and let's talk with them about it. Oh, wait a minute. No, now, don't you tell them I said it. Why not? You said it. How am I supposed to know? God sent a bolt of lightning to let me know. You're the one that blabbed it. Why not go talk to them about it? Why not straighten it out? You see, folks like that don't really want to straighten it out. They won't talk about it. They have more fun talking about it, keeping it stirred up. Why do you want to do that? Don't you realize that it hurts the very cause of Jesus Christ for which He shed His blood? Brethren, to just use the tongue to devise mischief, to sow discord, to undermine authority, to give encouragement to those who are rebelling against the will of God, is spiritually damaging to everybody around. And in our day and time, the last few decades, I have found that there are many who are inclined to always be speaking against those who would contend earnestly for the faith, always finding fault for those who contend for sound doctrine, but they never have a discouraging word to those who are propagating error. They've always got praise and glory for them. How wonderful, how marvelous, how charismatic, how beautiful, how friendly, how sweet, how nice. But you let some of the old stalwarts of the pioneer days and those who stood by thus saith the Lord, some of our young smart alecks get up and just berate them and just damn them right away as if they didn't have good sense. And they've hurt. And they've persuaded people to turn from the truths that have been taught through the years by the misuse of that tongue. Brethren, we can do an immeasurable amount of good with the tongue. Tongue doesn't have to be destructive. It can be very productive. By the tongue, we can teach the truth. By the tongue, we can offer comfort to those in distress. We can express kindness. We can even extend wise counsel and advice. By the tongue, we can give a much-needed rebuke. A soft answer can turn away wrath. By the tongue, we can support the work of the Lord and the church. We can praise the name of the Lord. We can sing praises to God. We can confess our faith in Him. We can even acknowledge our transgressions. We can build up one another's faith. We can encourage one another. We can say good things to one another. The tongue can be a powerful instrument for that which is right. Surely, none of us want to be guilty of doing harm. We don't want, do we, to do harm with the tongue. We don't want to make our religion vain. But if I understand what the Holy Spirit through James has revealed to all of us, we can do that very thing. Now, brethren, I've spoken plainly. I think I've spoken kindly. God knows my motives. And I want to say to you, if the shoe fits, wear it. If you need to be watching your conversation more studiously than you have been, then you better start as of right now. Right now. No use waiting another minute. Start right now. And put this wild animal in a cage. And keep it under control. And let's not be hurting and harming one another. And let's not be undermining and tearing down in the church. And let's not be bad-mouthing anything with which we don't happen to agree. And let's be promoting that which is good and righteous and pure and honorable and lovely and true. That's the reason God has given you this ability to communicate your mind to another. I'll tell you what your tongue will do. It will reveal what's in your mind. It'll tell on your heart. God already knows about your heart, and you can tell other people what's in your heart too. And it can be black and ugly and dirty if we don't watch the use of our tongue.